Hello, I'm Amanda McNulty with Clemson Extension and Making It Grow, and this is Making It Grow Extra, one of our podcasts, and I'm speaking with one of my former professors, Dr. John Nelson, retired curator of the A.C. Moore Herbarium at the University of South Carolina. And I must say the class I took with him was just about the most exciting class I ever took. And it's always fun to have you come and talk to me.
Well, Amanda, that was one of the, as I look back on it, that was one of the best classes I had. And I think you were such a good influence on the rest of those kids. That's in large part what made it work.
Well, my original college career was not one so successful. But when you pay your own tuition, you work a lot harder.
And there are still some kids out there that are actually working hard and doing that sort of thing.
John, here we are sitting in South Carolina, and we have some unique geographical features, I guess, that lead to unique botany?
Well, we have plenty of features and of all sorts of wonderful diversity that's represented not only in the plant and animal species, but in the way the land is put together. And I guess we like to call the geologists anyway, would say geomorphic features.
All right.
That is, places on the Earth's surface that pretty much perpetuate themselves in various ways. And look, you know, they maintain a certain appearance. And I think what we're getting ready to talk about are these very special places called Carolina Bays.
And we're probably going to have several conversations about these because it's a big topic.
That's right.
John, I know that you can really see these from airplanes, but when did we first start knowing that South Carolina, parts of South Carolina and some other places were covered with these peculiar land formations?
Well, it didn't take too long for the people on the land to figure out that there were these damp places on the landscape.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times a damp place would just be called a bay.
A bay.
And bay just means that, well, it must be dominated by bay trees. It wasn't really, you know, associated with a bay as you would see on the coastline.
Mm-hmm.
But the Carolina Bay aspect of that name owes itself to the presence of different kinds of bay trees. And, of course, that's another subject for a podcast.
Well, and I think we should at some point talk about the three things that were the bay trees, and one of them is not going to be around much longer.
That's right. But you were saying that you were wondering about where these things were, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, when you start looking at a sort of overall world view of Carolina Bays, you can find these things as far north as the Delmarva Peninsula. So that would be Delaware and Maryland and Virginia.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And, of course, they don't call them Carolina Bays up there.
Well, that's
I think they
their
call
problem.
Them Maryland Bays
okay.
or something. But these are, as we were talking about the early settlers, you know, noticing that there are these damp places dotting the landscape and just calling them bays. It didn't take them long to figure out also that many of these places were elliptical in outline. That is, you could walk across them and they'd be generally demarcated from the rest of the vegetation and the plant communities that were adjacent to them.
So just in the middle of taking a walk, all of a sudden everything else you'd been seeing wouldn't be there, and there'd be a whole other plant community.
There would be a change, a pretty drastic change.
Drastic.
And you'd have to, like, map these things out to understand their ellipticness. But the plant life would change as you left the surrounding area and went into one of these Carolina Bays. For one thing, the elevation would change, and you'd be dropping a couple or more feet in elevation as you entered this bay and started wandering around in it. And, of course, the plants would be different.
So,
a couple more.
Not dramatically, not 10 feet deep.
No, you're not going to, like, fall, you know,
and
really hurt yourself. But it could be a fairly substantial change in topography. And, right, and so these bays can be seen all the way down from Delmarva Peninsula down into just a little bit of eastern Georgia.
Oh, okay.
And they are typically called Carolina Bays because most of them are in the two Carolinas.
That's what I was going to ask. So right. The majority are found in North and South Carolina.
Right.
And in, like, are they in our coastal plain or where are they?
They are restricted to the coastal plain.
They are.
And in South Carolina, their different counties will have different concentrations of Carolina Bays. But across the board, now I might get the numbers wrong here, but in general, and for South Carolina, the thousands of these things of widely varying size. So some of them would be thousands of acres in area, and then others would just be, just you could fit it inside of a football field, that kind of thing.
Really?
That's right. And so primarily these things were of coastal plain counties, but all the way in South Carolina up to the Sand Hills.
Mm-hmm.
And this is definitely Richland County would have plenty of them in its lower portion where it's the coastal plain,
mm-hmm.
but also down into Aiken and then all the way up to Chesterfield.
Okay.
But most of them, again, were in the what we consider the coastal plain counties closer to the coast.
Well, what caused these to form and when did they form?
Well, now you're asking me questions I'm not going to be able to answer real cogently. There's been all sorts of ideas about how these things formed, and no one idea has ended up dominating the other ones, except that we know that there are some of the early ideas about their origin are just a little bit wrong. Very wrong.
When I was a little girl, a wonderful and brilliant man in Sumter, Henry Savage, I think was the reason people got really excited about him because he started talking about him, and I believe he thought they were caused by a meteor shower.
And he came up with a really fantastic book that's still available. I think it's the USC Press, and it was called The Mysterious Carolina Bays. And that title itself is, you know, what an attractive idea. They're mysterious for whatever reason.
And they are mysterious.
And that book is still a fascinating read. I would encourage anybody who's interested in the out-of-doors of this state to have one on their bookshelf. But sure enough, he postulated that the bays, because of their origin, which is almost invariably northwest to the southeast, that these things must have been caused by some sort of meteor strike on the Earth's surface, leaving scars. Well, that theory is a pretty exciting one, but it's really hard to support because there's really no evidence whether of physical remains of meteorite strikes or magnetic fields sorts of things that would happen after that.
John, I took the Midlands Master Naturalist course with Austin Jenkins, and he took us to Savage Bay over in Kershaw County.
Right.
And gosh, what a remarkable visit. And
that's
Austin,
a really great place to go to see an example.
Beautiful. And Austin said that they now think that it's due to just wind blowing the sands. That I guess the winds generally have a certain direction, especially coming up across the coastal plains. And I guess the soil types, the interaction of those with the wind seemed to be the new idea. And he seemed to think, tell us that one of the reasons the meteor idea wasn't quite so particularly seemed as likely to hold water, which I guess is, I'm not trying to be funny, holding water, was because they're different ages. These bays seem to have formed at different times. So do you think it was just the natural occurrence of winds and soil types?
I think
over
when we look at the, and I'm not a geologist, but when we look at the way these things appear on the land now, we have to remember that hundreds of thousands of years ago, it was much different. And I mean, it's kind of hard to imagine what it might have been like, and we just don't really know. So it makes more sense that there would have been, a wind-driven situation, maybe over hundreds of thousands of years, to cause these elliptical shapes to form, a sort of some kind of an erosional kind of accretion of sand. And again, I'm not the geologist, but the geologist might be able to tell us more about that. So another kind of crazy idea was that maybe these things were formed underneath the ocean, and that they were caused by whales or large fish.
Now that's stretching.
Forming their spawning beds.
Oh, the way brim make those little places in ponds these days, and you want to stay out of them because they'll come up and bite you if you get too near them.
That's right.
Okay, but John, isn't there? Okay, they have a certain orientation, which is
sort of northwest, a northwest end and a southeast end.
Okay, and do they often have a sand rim at sometimes at one end?
Depending on where they are and how they are developed, there may be a sand rim. Now, the sand rims that we studied when I was working with the Wildlife Department with Steve Bennett a long time ago, and of course now it's DNR, was that we noticed that the best developed sand rims were typically in the PD region of the state.
And did you wonder why or come up with an idea?
Not really, but we did notice that these sand rims were, if they were present and in sufficient, in good enough condition, they were some of the most interesting parts of the bay itself.
You mean as to what was growing on them?
Right, and just the fact that they represented really, really dry habitats related to a really, really damp habitat.
Oh, it's where they would come together.
Right, and so some of the best botany and zoology would be where these two different kinds of habitats would meet.
An interface.
And ecotones.
Isn't that exciting? Wonder why that happens.
We have to go back to the geologist, I think. Something about how that sand got moved around.
And the sand would be at the northwest or the southeast?
The east side.
The
best developed examples would have it sort of piled up in a sand hill and a crescent right along the southeast end. And if you want to, like, get down and dirty with these things and see examples, all you got to do is go to Google Earth or otherwise nice aerial photography, especially in the PD region, and I guess especially in Horry County. There are some perfect examples of bays, in fact, in complexes of bays that are overlapping with each other that have well-developed sand rims.
Whoa. Well, a trip to the beach is always in everybody's list of things to do. And so let's end our first talk with that and come back and talk in a few minutes about some of the things that we'd find, some of the plant communities.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you.